This is probably one of the most familiar passages of Scripture. Most of you have heard it most of your lives, if not all of your lives. It's the beginning of what we call in Matthew the Sermon on the Mount, the beginning of a whole series of Jesus' most important teaching. But he begins with a series of beatitudes. That word just means blessings. Now, I grew up hearing it read exactly the way Nancy read it. Blessed are those, but today some folks say blessed are those, and that works just as well. It works fine. There are translations that say happy are those. Had a friend, Elliot Wright, who wrote a book many years ago called Holy Company. And Elliot chose to translate that, holy are those. And he divided the book up according to those holy beatitudes and collected stories of people whose lives he thought exhibited those qualities. Now, some of these seem to make a lot of sense. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the pure in heart. But then some of them are a little counterintuitive. Blessed are you when people persecute you and revile you and say all manner of terrible things about you for my sake, Jesus says. Doesn't sound like much of a blessing to me. Blessed are the meek. Not in this world. Maybe in Jesus' world, but not in this world. Blessed are those who mourn. And there are folks here today who are mourning the loss of those persons whose names we read a little bit earlier. And their names are written indelibly across their hearts. And there are others among us who are mourning for folks whose names were not read this morning. And yet they too are forever engraved upon our hearts. Mourning is a blessing? How does that work? Could it be that Jesus has the idea that no matter what experience we have in life, God can use it as a blessing? Is that it? That there is nothing that can happen to us that is so terrible that God can't work in and through that for some kind of good? I think Jesus is describing what we would later call a saint. Now, in St. Paul's language, a saint is any follower of Jesus. You are all saints. Now, we've narrowed that at different times in the Christian history, but I like that original definition. A saint is not someone who's perfect. A saint is not someone who always gets it right or is always in a good mood. A saint is someone through whom the light of God's love shines. A saint is someone who has said, in the words of that old hymn, "Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee," and meant it. I think during these past few weeks, we have been employing a metaphor of sainthood in our Legacy of Light gatherings. You've been choosing pieces of stained glass that came from the original windows here. We're going to make a new art piece. I say we, very loosely. I'm not going to make it. An artist is going to make a new stained glass piece that will commemorate this 140th anniversary of this congregation as a station church and our time together this year, cultivating a culture of generosity and gratitude. This particular piece is the piece that represents the entire congregation. You can see it's in two pieces. You have to fit it together. I think that's very fitting because you see, we not only celebrate the saints of the past, we celebrate the saints of the present and the saints who are yet to be. When you put it together, it makes a star. You may not be able to see it. It makes a source of light. Part of it is dark. Part of it is light. Part of it green, part of it blue. That's the thing about stained glass. It comes in different colors. Part of it is shadowed. Part of it is translucent so that the light can shine through. And that's what makes the images. It's kind of like us, huh? In our lives, parts are shadowed. Parts are translucent enough for God's love to shine through. Our lives are not perfect, are they? But fit with the lives of others, they become whole. The glass isn't particularly smooth, but that's all right. Our lives aren't particularly smooth either, are they? A number of years ago, I was going through a very rough time in my own life. A different congregation, long time ago. It was Advent, and I had gone into the sanctuary to prepare for an Advent evening service. I'd gone in by myself because I wanted to be by myself. While I was puttering around preparing for the service, one of the church members came in, a woman named Sydney. She had been a teacher. She was an artist in stained glass. She had actually done an entire rose window for that particular congregation. Beautifully done. She came in and she said, "You've looked kind of sad and kind of troubled recently, and I thought you might like something to cheer you up." And she handed me a box. And then she just left. That was it. So I opened the box, and in it was a stained glass cross. A piece of stained glass that she had made for me. Also in the box, there was a note. And the note said, "I've noticed that you seem to be sad recently, that something is troubling you, and I thought this stained glass cross might cheer you up." She said, "If you look at it, there are streaks in the glass." She said, "Those are not really imperfections. We call them scars. They're what gives the glass its character. They're there to remind you that it's our scars that make us beautiful." Today, I am here to remind you it is our scars that make us beautiful. I think that's why Jesus could say, "Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who are persecuted, reviled." To God, it is those scars that sometimes let the light through. I hope our prayer today will be that old hymn I mentioned previously. "Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my moments and my days. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of Thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for Thee." Thanks be to God.